Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Plumbers 911 Football Monday starts now with Rami Makhlouf on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
That's me, Rami Makhlouf, kicking off a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. I got Tyler Farengol on the other side of the glass in a jam-packed 5 hours for you. We'll hear from Thomas Brown, the Bears interim head coach. We'll hear from the quarterback, Caleb Williams. We'll hear from Mully and Patrick Manley and Olin Kreutz on the post-game show and much, much more. But most importantly, we'll hear from you. This show all about you guys at 312-644-6767. Give me a call, drop a line in the text line, and get some thoughts off your chest about, well, another embarrassing Bears loss, this time to the 49ers, 38-13, the final. 312-644-6767. First, before we get into your calls and my thoughts on this one, just a quick recap of what went down by the bay today. Tyler, could I get a little NFL Films music to get me going for the next 5 hours? There we go. There we go. That'll get me excited. And then these highlights will get me very, very depressed. The 49ers got the ball first in San Francisco today. Well, they're not really in San Francisco. They're nowhere near the Golden Gate Bridge. Every time I see a 49ers game on TV, they're doing that. The drone shot of the gold. I lived in California. They're a good 40 minutes from the Golden Gate Bridge. And with California traffic, they're a good hour and 10 minutes away from the Golden Gate Bridge. But I digress. The 49ers get the ball first, and they make it look easy. Five plays, 70 yards, 2 minutes and 40 seconds, capped off by Brock Purdy to Juwan Jennings.
Here they go, following the timeout. Purdy looking end zone. He throws. Touchdown. Juwan Jennings.
So 7-0 49ers. Bears get the ball. This has been a trend all season long, and was a trend today. 3 and out. 2 minutes, 12 seconds, 6 yards. 49ers get the ball back, and the Bears defense does a little something. They hold them to just 36 yards. They make them punt. Bears get the ball back, and guess what? They punted it two minutes, 20 seconds later after 5 plays and 5 yards. But they did get a first down. That was noteworthy. You'll find out why in just a second. Next drive, 49ers get the ball, and it was 4 plays, 64 yards, and Isaac Guerrero right up the middle.
first and goal. Lorenzo. He's in. Touchdown.
We asked Eric Washington about the line of scrimmage. He said, we reset the line of scrimmage. We'll win. We'll take a look at the 49ers, that offensive line, getting the push up front.
That's their third string running back, in case you were counting at home. More on that in just a few minutes. 49ers would make it 21-0 on their next drive. 12 plays, 71 yards, capped off by Brock Purdy to Juwan Jennings again. Bears punt, three and out. Field goal by the 49ers. Bears punt, three and out. And then the 49ers kneel on it with 3 seconds left. That would end the first half, and Jonathan Vilma had thoughts on what he had seen in that first half.
Just look at the total yards, 310-2. Man, 49ers rolling right now.
Again, 312-644-6767 if you want to get in on this. It was even worse, though. Jonathan Vilma piled on more about how bad that first half looked for the Chicago Bears.
4 yards of offense for the Bears. Now this will be their fifth punt.
You don't have to rub it in. I get it. It's the stat, Kenny, but man.
Just in fact.
I know you are, man.
More punts, the total yards.
Some things are just better left unsaid.
We do not see that very often.
More punts than total yards. They're laughing at us. They're laughing at us on national TV, on Fox. And they would go into the half with a 24-0 score, and the Bears with more punts than first downs in that first half. They would show a little fight in the second half, though, something that we've seen from this team throughout the season. They get the ball coming out of the half, go 16 plays, 70 yards, 9 minutes, and an impressive cap off to that drive.
Third and goal. Williams throws, corner of the end zone. It is caught for a touchdown by Roma Dunze.
Oh, let's take a look at his feet. Goes up. It's definitely a catch. And look at the awareness by Roma Dunze. He immediately looks down to make sure that his feet land in bounds for that touchdown. Man, that's gorgeous. Just that little bit. You saw the hesitation in Charvarius Ward. Not on the same page with the nickel corner. And because of that split second, it allows for Roma Dunze to get right behind him for the touchdown.
Beautiful play. Beautiful throw. Beautiful catch. Greatly described there by Jonathan Vilma and Kenny Albert on Fox. Beautiful, beautiful play. The Bears, the next 49ers drive, they force a three and out. They get the ball back, and they're putting together another drive, and it's starting to feel familiar. You're like, oh, I've seen this before. The Bears put up some fight in the second half. They're going to make it close. Maybe they drive down. Maybe they make it a 10-point game. This was really the turning point when the game ended for the Bears right here.
Second down and 8. No whistle yet. They let the play go, and now it's ruled an incomplete pass.
Quarterback's hand was coming forward with control of the ball. The ball slipped out of his hands. It's an incomplete pass. Third down.
So they say Williams' hand moving forward before the ball came out.
Most definitely is.
There was no challenge on that field after replay assist. It is a fumble. Recovered by San Francisco. First down.
So replay assist chimed in. And they rule it a fumble. Recovery by the 49ers.
Yeah, well, let's definitely take a look at it. You notice the behind the pass, behind the line of scrimmage.
Right.
He's throwing it
backwards.
Yeah, it's a backward pass.
Yeah, those guys on Fox seemed very certain while they were sort of reviewing it. Shanahan threw the review flag. It ended up just being the ref assist from up in the booth, overturning it to a fumble. They seemed pretty sure throughout the process, though, that it was a forward and incomplete pass. And I was looking at it and going, first of all, tuck rule. Second of all, even if it's a pass, it went backwards. That's a fumble. And sure enough, they caught it, and it was. And at that point, you're doing the math. You're like, they probably just don't have enough drives, enough time left in this game to come back after that fumble, especially after a 49ers touchdown that made it 31-6. We did see another little flash of the future, though, with about 3 minutes left in this game.
Second and 8 to the end zone. It is caught. for a touchdown. Odunze, his second here in the second half.
And then not to be outdone is Rome Odunze, who's really cashing in on these plays. You have really nice route running by Odunze. You see how he goes and attacks Fred Warner. He has Fred Warner stay put. Then gets right behind him, and Fred Warner tries to jump up and get it, but too good. Caleb Williams, Rome Odunze, nice route connection there.
You like to see that, but again, it was just too little too late. 49ers would go 70 yards on their next drive for yet another touchdown. That made it 38-13, and that would be your final on Fox.
What a game for Brock Purdy and the 49ers. They led 24-0 at the half.
It was just, and you know, I didn't think the Bears could make me mad anymore. But here we are. Here we are on a Monday morning, on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, on a Monday morning, and somehow this team managed to piss me off when I didn't think that was possible, you guys. I don't know about you at 312-644-6767, but I found myself getting angry at this game. I take notes as the game is going on, and I have a column that says positives. I have a column that says negatives. There's two positives. The drive out of the second half, and we saw what Caleb and Rome could be at the end of that drive and on the later touchdown. And then the big-time throw by Caleb Williams on the two-point conversion, but it was dropped by Cole Kmet. So you can drop that right into the negatives category as well. Negatives, 319-4 in total yards at the half. The largest first half yard differential in the NFL this year, only difference of 300-plus yards. San Francisco was 4 of 7. On third down in the first half, the Bears were 0-for-5. San Francisco had 14 first downs in the first half. The Bears had one. Bears had 4 rushing attempts in the first half for 4 yards, minus 3 passing yards in that first half. It was the fewest yards gained by a Bears team in the first half since at least the year 2000. Think about that. Think about all the terrible offenses that we've seen in this city over the last damn near quarter of a century, and this was the worst first half that they have had. The Bears have gone scoreless in the first quarter 9 times in the first 13 games. Here's interim head coach Thomas Brown afterwards.
All right, so hit injuries first. DeAndre Carter had a hamstring. Travis Homer had a head injury. We're going to continue to try to evaluate going forward. And I'll start with what I kind of addressed with the team. We got our butts kicked. There's no other way to say it. We always be straightforward, honest, and open about things that transpired. We got to do a better job of putting together a better game plan on both sides of the ball so we can execute better and obviously continue to challenge our guys to be at their best. Also encourage those guys and also demand that we still stay unified. That's a grown man's business. There is no lay down or quitting our football team, which I do love. We got to do a better job of trying to find ways to start the games faster, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. I think we do a decent job at halftime of making adjustments, but get the ball rolling at the beginning of some games to be able to, kind of be able to build with the lead. But overall, I mean, not enough explosive on the offensive side of the ball and gave it way too many on defense.
You can't lay down and quit if you never get up and start. Like, there is no lay down and quit in this team because they never got up and started for damn near 3 quarters. Here was the quarterback, Caleb Williams, on these slow starts.
If we had the answer, we would have solved it by now as players, as coaches. It's not something that you want to do because that puts you behind in games. And then when you're behind in games, which we've been in a couple of these past games that we've been playing, you got to come back, and it's a taller task. You know, we have to do it, if it happens. But it's a taller task, and you don't want to deal with that every game. If you can get out and, jump on people and these teams and impose your will, that's obviously what you want to do early in games, and we haven't been doing that.
He put it more bluntly about the overall performance by his team a little later on.
I don't know if Thomas said it like this, but we got our ass kicked today, and there's no way around it. You can, like you said, they had 240-something, I believe, and we had 4 total yards. So that's, I mean,
four.
That's
it was 4.
Regardless of how we feel, regardless of all of that, we got it handed to us. And so, it was offense, defense, special teams, myself. We got to come out and and be better. It's just, you know, totally what it is. We got to be more violent. We got to be, you know, have our screws screwed, and we got to be on point. And that's not what happened today. You know, we started to get something going, and then you know, I end up fumbling the ball. I end up fumbling the ball. And you know, our momentum and things like that from there started going down, and they go score again, and off of that, and you know, it's you know, you have points off of turnovers, and you're already down. It's tough. Tough at the end of the game.
That's Caleb Williams. After a 38-13 loss to the 49ers today, I got to hear from you guys. 312-644-6767. I can't be the only one who thought I was done being mad at this Bears team and found themselves infuriated on their couch today, well, yesterday now, watching that 38-13 loss. And you know what? We're going to get into, I got 5 hours. I got plenty of time, okay? And there's plenty of blame to go around. I'm going to get into a little later in the show who else performances like this implicate within the Chicago Bears organization. And it doesn't take a genius to see where I'm going with that. But man, we have beat up on Matt Eberflus. We have beat up on Shane Waldron, and they're gone. And they're gone. And you know what? While we were doing all that, you know who was getting a little bit of a pass? The guys who put on that uniform every week. The guys that run out there every week and are supposed to compete and entertain us as football fans. The guys that are supposed to go out there and care. And every single one of them, every single guy who put on a Bears uniform today should be absolutely embarrassed of themselves. No pun intended when I say embarrassed of themselves. Dude, your head coach got fired 10 days ago. And I don't expect Thomas Brown to fix things in 10 days. What I do expect is for you guys to show a little bit of pride. Any measure of pride whatsoever. Anybody in that locker room to go, hey guys, they fired the coach. They fired the offensive coordinator. This is on us now. This is us. There's nobody to look to right now other than us. And you didn't even have to come out and win the game. Come out and show some fight, some competitive spirit. Don't come out like a bunch of lackadaisical, lazy asses who have already booked their trips to Cabo. That was inexcusable, the way that they came out and played that football game today after their head coach was fired and they had 10 days to sit there and look in the mirror and look around that locker room and figure out who's going to show up and show some fight and some competitive spirit in San Francisco on Sunday. And guess what? Guess what the answer was? Guess who was going to show up? Nobody. Not a single person showed up ready to play that game. And you know what? All this second half fight crap, any stock that you wanted to put into it before, throw that away. Throw that away. All this, they were competitive in the second half of games. Toss that right out. Because if that's who you are, If you need to get your ass kicked, you need to get slapped around for 30 minutes to wake you up and for you to figure out what you need to do to get open, to catch a pass, to find a hole, to make a block. If you got to get slapped around for 30 minutes for you to figure that out, it's never going to work for you. And we can't even blame the coaches at this point. I mean, I guess Thomas Brown has been here for all of it. He does own some of it for sure. But man, how do you come out if you have any pride whatsoever as a competitor? How do you come out that unprepared and that lackadaisical? And you know what? When this game showed up on the schedule before the season started, you looked at it as a part of a really tough half of the second schedule with the six division games and the 49ers and the Seahawks in the last eight games. And the division looks real good. The division looks real good right now. The Vikings pulled another one out today, and I'm still trying to figure out how they did that. So the division looks real, real good right now. And you know what? The Seahawks are in first place in the West. But this 49ers team that routed the Bears today, that just came out and spanked them, it was never close, it was never a fight, it was never competitive, losers of three straight. They had been outscored by 53 points the last 2 weeks in losses at Green Bay and Buffalo and left their playoff hopes behind with Christian McCaffrey and his backup on the bench, Nick Bosa, Trent Williams, Brandon Ayuk. That is a banged-up football team that has not been playing well. But guess what? The panacea for all that ails you showed up at Levi's Stadium today. Is it still Levi's? I don't even know. The panacea for all that ails you, if you're a struggling football team, showed up by the Bay today. And that's the Chicago Bears. Whatever it is, you got a tummy ache? Take a little Bears. You got a headache? Take a little Bears. Take a little swig of Bears. They'll fix you right up every time because they don't care. Because they don't show up to play. Because they don't have any pride whatsoever. Because there is no fight or competition in that football team at this point. And shame on you. Shame on you if you're one of those guys that put on that uniform today and went out there. I know they're not listening. They're probably sound asleep right now because they don't give a damn. And I'm probably more upset about this than they are. Either that or they're on booking.com seeing what's available in Cabo in January. Hell, maybe late December. There is no reason for them to come out and give the performance that they gave today. Absolutely none whatsoever. This is the game where you either show up and a little bit of your pride shows up. Remember, Tyler, I don't know if you were here with me a couple weeks ago. Yeah, you were on the morning show. When all the quotes were coming out of the locker room and an anonymous Bears player said, it's not the talent. We can tell you that. It's not the talent on this team. Basically pointing a finger at the coaching. And don't take this the wrong way. Don't get this wrong. This is not a defense of Matt Eberflus. All right? Because a lot of this is probably residue left over for Matt Eberflus. And the tone that he set as the head coach of this football team. So this is not that. But don't tell me it's not the players and be pointing fingers. And then when the guys that you're blaming are gone, you're not even in the game at the end for him to screw it up. You didn't even show up for the first 30 minutes. Dude, those first half numbers are like if you weren't me, and I just gave you my notes for the show tonight, which includes a bunch of stats and stuff. There are at least like 3 points on my notes where you'd be like, well, that's a typo. If you didn't see the game yesterday, you look at my notes and see a stat, see a fact, and be like, that's a typo. There's no way that's real. 319-4 in total first half. I can't even talk. Total first half yards, 319-4. 14 first downs to your one. -3 passing yards. The fewest yards gained by the Bears in a first half since the year 2000.
And I thought that first half at Detroit last week was bad.
Since the year 2000. Dude. We're 3 Spider-Verses since then. You know what I mean? We're 3 Spider-Men since the last time the Bears offense was this bad in the first half. And that's the Bears. That's the Bears, dude. You know how bad you got to be the worst Bears offense for a half in almost a quarter century? You have to try really, really hard to be that bad. And you have to really, really not care. And that's what's happened here. Part of that is on Thomas Brown. I can't say that it's not. He's now the head coach of this football team. And you know what? He was the passing coordinator and he was the offensive coordinator while these first half issues had started. So he's been here for all of it. But dude, again, when a head coach is fired on a Friday and you have till the next Sunday to look yourself in the mirror, to look around your locker room and go, all right, who's going to show up? Because we don't have anybody to blame now but ourselves. And I saw Jalen Johnson, his quote during the week, that basically everybody is auditioning for their job right now because if it's not Thomas Brown next year who's you know, evaluating guys right now, it's going to be somebody else who's going to come in here and evaluate these guys. And you got to show some competitiveness. You got to show some fight. You got to put some good things on tape. Well, guess what? You didn't. Jalen Johnson didn't. Nobody else on that defense did for the entire first half and much of the second half. Nobody on that offense did. Nobody.
I would make a minor case for Rome Odunze.
Okay.
You said there's two guys that you are going to give a little bit of leeway to this year, and Caleb Williams didn't play well majority of the game, but I think if you're looking for any sliver of positive, it's that the two of them look pretty decent second half.
Here's the thing.
I'm just trying to be
I get it. And I have said throughout the season, and I stand by it, like big picture-wise, I don't have patience for anybody in that organization if they're not named Caleb or Rome.
That's the quote I've said,
and I will continue to say that until this nightmare is over. This nightmare that is the 2024 Bears, I will stick by that statement until it is over. That first half of football today, though, just microcosm, just under a microscope, that first half of football, after what I just said, firing your head coach, having 9 days to look around that locker room and say who's going to show up, who's going to fight, who's going to compete. We can't blame anybody now but ourselves. That includes Caleb and Rome. You don't come out and get 4 first half yards without everybody contributing to that bad.
That's a fact.
You know what I mean?
That's a fact.
All of them. Caleb and Rome, again, big picture wise, I do have patience for them. I'm encouraged by a lot of the things I've seen throughout the season and today. But Caleb and Rome are professionals now. They're 14 weeks into their professional careers. And what we saw for the first 30 minutes of that football game today was unprofessional. To come out that unprepared, that lackadaisical, after you had 9-10 days for a gut check, To ask yourself and ask each other, who's showing up? Who's showing up? Let's show them it's not us. Let's show them it was that guy holding us back who we've been throwing under the bus for the last 6 weeks. And rightly so. But now you got to wear it. Now if you're a Bears player, you got to wear it. And what we saw out there today was absolutely embarrassing. There's zero excuse for it. For nobody to show up and show any fight, show any professionalism, nothing. Nothing. And you shouldn't need a coach to get that out of you. The fact that your last coach was fired should have got that out of you. I could deal with the loss today. Not like this. Not like this. That was embarrassing. I'm a Bears fan who lives in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I got to walk around with this hat, and I know I don't have to, but I got to walk around with this hat on and get laughed at and pointed at, literally. Literally, pointed at and laughed at for being a Bears fan. And if it's not happening to you in your day-to-day life because you don't live behind enemy lines like I do, it's happening to you on social media, it's happening to you on national TV, it's happening to you on national radio, it's happening to you on sports radio in Detroit, in Minnesota, in all the state of Wisconsin. We're getting laughed at, dude. We are a laughingstock. We are a joke of an organization. To get the number one pick and a prospect, a talent like Caleb Williams, and come out and do this through 14 weeks is the latest punchline, and just the latest of a lot of punchlines that the Bears and we as Bears fans have been for the last 20 plus years or whatever it's been. I'm sick, dude. I am sick of this football team. I really am. And I didn't think I could get mad at this team anymore. How about you? 312-644-6767. And again, I will get into who else this implicates later in the show, a performance like this one. But to start the show after you fire your coach, players got to wear this one. Or at least those are my thoughts. How about yours? At 312-644-6767, give me a call. Get in the text line. It's Rami Makhlouf with you overnight on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday and back. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right after this.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Rami Makhlouf on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
Kicking off of Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. So much more to come, including Molly and Haar joined by Olin Kreutz at 7, DJ Moore at 8, Brad Biggs at 9. That's just the start of a jam-packed Football Monday here on The Score. I'm Rami Makhlouf kicking it off with you at 312-644-6767. If you're just tuning in, I didn't think the Bears could make me mad anymore, but they did. They did today with a 38-13 loss to the San Francisco 49ers, and just a lackluster, lackadaisical, unprepared, non-competitive football team showing up 10 days after their coach was fired, and they had nobody to point a finger at or to blame but themselves. 9 days to gut check themselves, look in the mirror, look around the locker room, and say who's going to show up. And the answer, nobody. Nobody. Got outgained by 315 yards in the first half. Got one first down. Had more punts than first downs in the first half. Had the worst first half a Bears offense. I repeat, the worst first half a Bears offense has had in nearly a quarter century. And that's just, I can't wrap my head around that. After you had so much time to process this season, what led up to Matt Eberflus's firing, and your role in it. And at least in my eyes, and at least for this first hour, the players are going to wear this like they haven't all season. As we've all been blaming Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron and Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren, anybody else that we could find. The players are wearing this one. They should be embarrassed today. I am as a fan. How about you? 312-644-6767. Read some of your text in just a second. But let's go out to Arlington Heights. And Bob, you're on The Score. What's up, Bob?
Good morning. This is going to come as blasphemy because I know he's part of the Score family this afternoon, and I'm sure that Holmes and Spiegel will, you know, offer him sucker. But the bottom line is the guy who switched his number from 33 to number one when Fields went to Pittsburgh and fancies himself to be the premier cornerback in the NFL certainly doesn't demonstrate $76 million contract value in what I've seen this year or any other year for that matter. And yet he is somehow seen now as kind of a folk hero for having gotten in Eberflus's face last week and not only threw him under the bus, but drove the bus over him. Well, you know, where was he today? Mm-hmm. And, you know, he also seems to have a pretty short memory because I watched those games that they lost by a total of 7 points to the Packers, Lions, and Vikings. Oh, and in both the Packer and the Viking game, Mr. Johnson figured largely with two major pass interference calls and the one pass play that was a 20-yard reception where Johnson fell down, didn't bother to get off his butt and tag the guy, go over and touch him and turn that into a 60-yard pass play. And 2 days later, or 2 plays later, that turned into a touchdown. In both of those instances, you know, they lost those games, you know, on the last play of the game. So, you know, I know everybody else thinks this guy is some sort of hero, but I think, you know, if there's one player on that roster that absolutely pantsed Ryan Poles, it's him. Because if you remember a year ago when the Bears went out to California to play, Poles was trying to put a contract together for him. And they had something worked out. And then Johnson decided to play hardball and said, you know, I want to see if I can get a better deal somewhere else. And Poles said, fine, go to your agent and see what you can get. And so they went out there. Nobody was interested. And then, the season ended. And then Poles gave him $76 million. And he sees himself as, you know, the number one cornerback in all of the NFL.
Well, Bob, I appreciate the call, and you're right on some of those points. I think it was during the season that he got that contract last year, actually. And look, man, I've sat here and said not one player is not in the crosshairs after a loss like that. And you know what? Jalen Johnson especially is not in the crosshairs after a loss like that. Juwan Jennings, after that first touchdown, they decided to lock Jalen Johnson up on him. He was following him around the field. Jennings would go in motion. Jalen Johnson went with him. He finished with 7 receptions for 90 yards and 2 touchdowns. And Jalen Johnson made a couple plays, you know what I mean? But he finished with 7 receptions for 90 yards and 2 touchdowns. And dude, Brock Purdy was damn near perfect. Going 20 of 25 for 325 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a 97.1 QBR, a 145.4 passer rating. Almost a perfect day. And yeah, Jalen Johnson wears a lot of that, especially the Juwan Jennings portion of that. But he's been pretty good most of the season. If you go by PFF, he's one of the highest, was the highest rated cornerback and had the lowest QB rating. I don't know if it was going into this week or the previous week that I had seen that, but he was near the top of both those categories all season long. Today was a terrible day for him, along with the rest of the team, and that was after he said this on Friday at Halas Hall. Individually, guys got to show up, got to make plays, because if Thomas isn't the one that is here, a lot of us have got to restart. And whoever comes in, we've got to reprove ourselves to them and figure out a way to stay on the roster. So, of course, with me being in it, going through it before, I kind of know how it goes already. So I think everybody is really trying to make sure their resume speaks for itself in these last 5 games. So everybody playing with pads has just got to go out there and make their plays, and coaches have to do what they can situationally, put us in the best position, because everybody is auditioning for a job. If those guys were auditioning for a job today, they did not get the part. Nobody on that team, except for maybe Roma Dunze, if they were auditioning for a part today, for a job today, would not get the part. Including Jalen Johnson. That's a lot of talk, dude. That's a lot of big talk about you guys having to look in the mirror and look at yourselves and go out there and put something good on tape, whether it's for Thomas Brown or the next head coach. And then you go out and do that. And that just tells me that they know. That they know, man, going into this game, that they know how bad it's going to look if you come out and do what you did today and still went out there and did it. That's a bunch of dudes who don't care. Because everything Jalen Johnson said on Friday in that quote I just read is true. And I'm sure it was spoken amongst each other. I'm sure that was the inner dialogue or monologue of a bunch of guys in that locker room. And then you went out and did that. Embarrassing. You should be embarrassed as a player. I'm embarrassed as a fan. Everybody associated with the Chicago Bears this morning should be embarrassed. 312-644-6767. Line up on the phones. Drop me a text. Here's a text from the 773, Patrick Engage Park from the squat rack. Says, can't believe these players suck so bad after all that hard knock hype. Yeah, remember that? Remember how hyped up we all were at the end of Hard Knocks? and they played that Chicago song. Remember that? Remember that song? And the highlight reel and the practice. Remember the edit that they put together of practice and Caleb throwing it to the right and then they cut back and Caleb's throwing it to the left and then they cut back and he's throwing it over the middle. And we're all like, oh my God, we got Keenan Allen. We drafted Roma Dunze. Oh, we got the number one pick. Ooh. I told Robbie Triano, my producer, to hit the Super Bowl shuffle on one show here. Because I was so hyped. And you know what? I don't blame myself. I don't blame myself for getting that hyped. I'm a fan. And you sold me a false bill of goods. That's what the Bears sold all of us.
You know what we say a lot of the time? We all want to drink the Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid tastes good.
It's tasty.
We don't want to drink the bad stuff. But unfortunately, that's what they feed us more times than not.
Also from Patrick in Gage Park, can the eight captains stop talking and doing podcasts until they win a game? That's a good idea. That is a really good idea. If I'm Thomas Brown or Ryan Poles or whoever is in, or Kevin Moore, whoever's in charge, we don't know. Everything is shut down. Everything is shut down. Your podcast is on hold. You're on hiatus until you win a damn football game. Who even wants to hear from you? I mean, I do, but I mean, I want to hear from you being asked questions by reporters. I want to hear Jalen Johnson right here on 6-7 to score asking questions or answering questions from Spiegel and Holmes. Because they're going to have some tough questions for those guys. DJ Moore, tomorrow morning on the morning show, there's going to be some tough questions for these guys. I don't want to hear you patting yourself on the back and pumping yourself up on your own podcast. And just going over the good stuff, having a good old time, some yucks and some laughs. And we'll see you next week while you're going out there and embarrassing yourself and me as a Bears fan. Stop it. Stop. First of all, you got nothing to say. You got nothing to say now other than we're not that good. You shouldn't really have, you can't go, well, I mean, decisions at the end of the game. No, man, you sucked.
They've already clinched last place in the NFC North.
You sucked.
Again.
That's what happened out there yesterday. You sucked. And I don't want to hear anything from you on your podcast other than coming out and going, yeah, we sucked. We were not good. We're not a good football team. And there is no excuse for that. Frank from the Loop. You're on 670 The Score. What's up, Frank?
Hey, Rami. Great to be with you.
Thank you.
So I'm going to be as succinct as possible here, but if I could just...
I have till 5 a.m. Take your time. Go ahead.
I've got a lot of points here, and I feel like what would be most useful is if I could just speak directly to you in the audience in terms of what I see from my perspective as the high-level issues organizationally, and I can kind of go down the line here. So obviously it's an ownership problem. Everyone sees it. So instead of just saying they need to sell the team, I'm going to go into it specifically. So, obviously George McCaskey took over from Michael McCaskey in 2011. Since that time, they've won zero playoff games. They've had, five coaching firings. I mean, four coaching firings and a sub 500 record.
You know what? I'm gonna let you finish, but I just want to give some more context to what you just said because I had these numbers in my notes before you jumped on, Frank. Since George McCaskey became the chairman in 2011, they've fired three GMs, five head coaches, three offensive coordinators. 14 years, they've had two winning seasons, two playoff berths, zero playoff wins. And Mark Trestman had a win percentage of 406. John Fox had a win percentage of 292. Matt Nagy had a win percentage of 523. And Matt Eberflus had a win percentage of 304. It has been utter futility since George McCaskey took over as chairman. Continue on, Frank.
Exactly. And so you really have haves and have-nots in the NFL. So the biggest kryptonite ailing the Bears is ownership, obviously, and the reality is that they say they want to win, but it's not really true, because if you really want to win, you do what you need to do to win. And so, unfortunately, the NFL is not a choir league where players don't swear, And guys just aren't nice, like, all the time. Like, it's the most competitive personalities all going for the same common goal. And listen, like, the Bears, they play different sports. So what I mean by that is you're talking about Hard Knocks, Rami. The Bears obviously didn't want any swear words coming out on HBO and Hard Knocks. That's mm-hmm. straight from the top. You know, you talk about how they hire their executives and their coaches. So when Ryan Poles is hired, who's a part of that hiring committee? Obviously, they bring in an outside consulting firm because it's not good enough to be the grandson of this founder of the NFL and George Halas and to have been with the organization in 30-plus years. I'm talking about George McCaskey, where he doesn't have that institutional knowledge, apparently, to know who to hire and who to speak to without hiring a consulting firm or just kind of outsourcing that work to a 70-some-year-old guy who's just going to hire his buddy who was his scouting assistant. And I'm talking about Bill Polian, and I'm talking about specifically with his ties to tangentially to the Colts organization with Matt Eberflus. And if you look at Ernie Accorsi, you know, he knew John Fox quite well from New York. So just to cap off that hiring committee, Rami, you have Tanisha Wade, who is not a football person involved. You had Lamar Soup Campbell, who is a player engagement person involved, who Ryan Poles fired after 2 months after he got the job, mm-hmm. and Bill Polian, who has no skin in the game, and Ted Phillips, who's retired. So obviously everything's always backwards. And you know, if you look at it, just going forward, Rami, so they have a choice. They can say, we're going to stop this here and now, and we're going to make sure that the best candidates want this job. And I just have to tell the fan base, look, like, the best guys on the market, which, unfortunate, it's not a great hiring market. Mike Vrabel, who I think wouldn't even take a phone call at this point because he's a guy that swears, you know, it's not as if he doesn't swear. I mean, he's an alpha.
Oh, I know.
And yeah. when you're dealing with Kevin Warren, who, you know, and I'm not trying to bring religion into the conversation here, but I'm saying that, you know, the McCaskey families, they're devout Catholic. Kevin Warren went to Notre Dame Law School. That's why you're seeing the Marcus Freeman connection, by the way. They have a connection there. That's why you're seeing that rumor a little bit. Mm-hmm. Kevin's a religious guy. So they want to win, but they want to win with this very specific way, and it just doesn't get you very far in the NFL. So what would I do if I own the team? I'm going for the best. If I want the best executive, I'm calling Jeffrey Lurie in Philadelphia, and I'm saying to him, hey, Jeff, I know you've won with Howie Roseman. I know you love him right now. What's it going to take to get him? I want to interview Howie for my executive VP GM role. Can I get permission? He's obviously going to say no, but you make that phone call.
Yeah,
same with Stan Kroenke and Sean McVay in L.A. You make that call, even if they hang up on the other line. Out of this hiring cycle, and obviously I would have hired Jim Harbaugh 5 different times after the Bears blew through their last 4 coaches, and he was the coach at Michigan for these last 10 years, and they didn't even want to place a phone call to him last offseason, as Ryan Poles said, which is disqualifying in itself, by the way, as we all agree. Like, that's yep. a fireable offense. When you say Jim's the coach at Michigan, and then 2 days later, he's with the Chargers in L.A. I mean, it's just laughable. It's insulting. They play a different sport. And the reality is, Rami, is that it's never going to get better unless the owner says to themselves, okay, what is it that's ailing my franchise? It's been ailing my franchise for the last 20 plus years, is that teams and players don't look at us as serious. If I'm the Bears, I'm saying to myself, I'm not going to have Kevin Warren be a middleman president because that structure does not exist in the vast majority of NFL buildings. You have the GM and the head coach reporting directly to the owner with easy access. So there's no political BS going on. There's no Trace Armstrong going on because when you have Trace Armstrong, he's essentially the shadow president of the Bears. He's an athlete's first guy. He represents Poles. He represents Eberflus. He represented Luke Getsy. He represented Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. He represented Shane Waldron. I mean, how many more names do you want me to list?
Yep.
Right. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
This is the problem. It's when you have an absentee owner who's terrified of conflict and who's terrified of having a tough conversation. They outsource everything and they let other people get empowered and
hey,
they
Frank,
let these outside. Yeah,
you're nailing it. No, you're nailing it. And I want you to be listening in the next hour because that's where I'm going in terms of the overall picture and guys who didn't run out there on the field, whether it was to coach or to play today. And I've got some insight that I think you'll want to hear about the nice guy label that you put on a lot of the guys in this organization. I have some insight on that and how it differs from another team right in the Bears division who's been a lot more successful for a much longer time. So I'm going to touch on that in the 1 o'clock hour, but everything you said, nail on the head. It starts with the McCaskies. Yeah. It goes down to Warren. It goes down to Poles and just the overall structure of what they're doing. So great, great call, Frank. No, you weren't wrong about one thing that you said, and I appreciate the passion.
Yeah, of course.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you.
Sure.
Go ahead. You got one more point? Get it out.
I could literally go with you until 5 a.m., but I know it's your show. This is all I'll say, okay? The right move to make, if they're actually serious in the offseason, is to say to Mike Vrabel, listen, like, we want you. Like, what do you need? Because ultimately, a guy like John Harbaugh, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, they're not leaving their spots. You're not going to be able to trade for them. So the best available culture rebuilder resetter is going to be Mike Vrabel. And I truly believe he's a top 10 coach. You're going to say to Mike, hey, Mike, what do you need? If it takes Ryan Poles leaving, we'll do it. If we need a reorient the
structure, I don't disagree with you.
So that you report to George McCaskey, we'll do it. But they won't do that. So
Frank,
I appreciate the call.
And I would be shopping for somebody to take Ryan Poles' job right now. I would be. No, I wouldn't fire him immediately, but I would do exactly what Frank is talking about and calling around and see if there is somebody who has and can do it better. Here's a text, though, that I don't think I can agree with. Frank nailed it on the head, and I agree with everything he said. This from the 848. It's a series of texts. This is a lot. Said, you see from today's game, you, the media, that you were wrong. Yes, Eberflus made some wrong moves at the end of games, but he did a great job with the defense. He also had the whole team playing hard like a well-coached team. Matt was media attacked way back when the team didn't have enough talent. Waldron was chosen by both Eberflus and Poles together. And when he was fired, Caleb got better. Then at the end, some players themselves went after Eberflus. Who else? But the psychological piece, Jalen Johnson, whose problems at least are off the field. Perhaps these players get their act from the media who went after Eberflus from almost the beginning. Perhaps it's the sports media who must change. Maybe they need counseling. Dude, Matt Eberflus was not a good head coach. His defense wasn't even good. They were giving up first downs three quarters of the time on third down. They were 9th in total yards. They were 29th in rushing yards. They barely cracked the top 10 in scoring. And the competitive thing, again, I don't want to hear that, man. If you can't come out competitive in the first half, you weren't competitive. If you have to get slapped around for 30 minutes before you wake up or before something clicks and you go, oh, maybe this will work, you weren't competitive. That's on Matt Eberflus. Again, this first hour of me railing on the players, saying they should be embarrassed, they got to wear this, there's no excuse for that, is not a defense of Matt Eberflus. It's just that he ain't here anymore.
I think anything about Matt Eberflus, it was all like previous week. Like starting Monday, Matt Eberflus should no longer be in any sort of conversation about this. He's gone.
We can stop now.
Yes.
of putting this on Matt Eberflus, but that doesn't absolve him of not being a very good NFL.
No, he wasn't. But you're, to your point, like they had the extra 3 days. Like their coach was gone before about 7/8 of the league played their week 13 matchup.
Yeah.
Like, you had an extra 3 days to get your feet kind of to get your feet planted with Thomas Brown and this whole new setup with him being the interim head coach, Eric Washington calling the defense, they had an extra couple of days, yeah. And they felt more than flat on their face.
I do want to hit a quick break, and then on the other side, I will take a look at some of the stuff that great call Kevin just brought up, and that's the bigger picture stuff and other people in the Bears organization that have to wear this and wear the overall.
Was it Frank, actually?
Frank, my bad.
Yeah, Frank.
My bad, Frank.
I actually, Rami, before we hit a break here, I actually had a caller. I was screening him, and he said, I think I'm going to hang up. I'm too embarrassed to talk. I'm not going to say who he is, but I just wanted to point this is how bad of a level it's gotten.
Don't let it stop you. Give me a call at 312.
I'm too embarrassed to talk.
312. See, you know what? If you're too embarrassed to talk, send a text. If you're too embarrassed to call and have your voice heard as a Bears fan, you don't even have to give your name. Just send an anonymous text, and I'll read that later in the show. But it's not just the players. Players got to wear this one, but it's not just the players. This is much bigger, and I'm going to talk about some of that. And like I said to Frank, I have a little insight as to how the Bears hire people and how another team in this division who's been a lot better than the Bears hires people. That's coming up next right here on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. Rami Makhlouf with you overnight on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.